And you see Jamie Lee Curtis's boobs, which I did not remember that, but that happened. Yeah, and then that one party, and it's just...
It's like a giant orgy, almost.
Yeah, and we were watching, and you're like, oh, shit.
I was like, oh, that's different.
That's different. Everybody's just partying so creatively.
Hello, and welcome to the Allied Rebels podcast, the show about video games, movies, pop culture, and so much more. I'm Roxy, and I have Nico joining me today.
Hello.
Yeah, that's right. I forced him back, and luckily he said yes.
Yeah, even though, you know, we got a lot of threats over the last episode. People threatened our hamsters' lives. It's a good thing we don't have hamsters. So that was a close call.
All about candy corn, too. It's very divisive.
I don't know if it's the candy corn, but...
Yeah, well, today we're going to be doing a random sesh about some very unconventional Christmas movies. So, excited.
Yeah, can't wait to get into those. What have you been up to?
Oh, I'm like shook. You just turned it around.
I know, I'm jumping the gun.
All right. Well, I guess I'll go first. So I'm excited for Christmas in Chicago. We are actually going to skip Christmas in town. Not completely, but we're going to be going to Chicago again. And I'm excited about that. Hopefully it snows on Christmas.
So. That would be awesome because yeah. I've never seen it snow in Chicago. So, yeah.
Yeah, this dude loves the snow. You're something else.
Well, I mean, everybody else just needs to get on my level. And plus, you know, it's just fun to look at. When do people stop liking snow? I mean, I get it. We drive in it. I mean, I don't really drive as much.
It's the driving part that like drives me bonkers. I also got a Surface Pro, and I've been doing some digital drawing with that. I'm super excited. It was a very early Christmas present, so I think I was a really good girl this year. So
the year's not over yet. You still better be good.
Oh, okay. I'm super stoked. It's been awesome. And I just feel so fancy with my little laptop/tablet. So.
Well, you got to get a pro for a pro.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. what about you, Nico? What's going on with you?
Oh, well, you know, I'm excited about this trip to Chicago, too. It's kind of nice to get out of the city and everything and kind of switch things up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feels like that thing. I mean, we're kind of getting into the Christmas spirit, but you know, that fantabulous movie Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah.
You know, where they want to go on a cruise and skip Christmas,
but then their daughter had to ruin it.
Well, I mean, unless the cats come a knocking and telling us that we have to stay, we're not.
Nope.
So we're actually heading out, and it's gonna be a fun time.
Yeah.
And besides that, I was a very good boy this year. You know, I got a very awesome birthday gift, and I've been kind of obsessed with it the past few weeks. It is a Lord of the Rings Lego set.
Ooh.
A giant Lord of the Rings Lego set. And, you know,
it's Rivendell.
It's the Rivendell. And get to put all the hobbits together and the dwarves. Haven't really gotten to Gandalf yet. And
Gandalf?
There's like
Gandalf? Gimli.
But I mean, I haven't really even tackled the most extensive part of the whole thing. There's three parts of it. And, you know, I haven't actually played with Legos since I was a little kid, and I forgot how fun it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just relaxing. It's almost therapeutic in a way until you accidentally, you know, smash the bin that you have all your loose pieces in and it flies on the carpet and those pieces happen to be the same color as the carpet.
Ooh, yeah.
So... because that happened, you know, just giving it a little break, you know, just dry the tears and
collect myself
and try to find the pieces.
Yeah. I wonder if we can order some. Might be able to. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to, but knowing Lego, they'd probably say, well, yeah, we'll send you two pieces for $50.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But, you know, they got to make their money somehow, I guess. You know,
yeah.
They're not the most expensive toy out there for a reason.
Exactly.
But, yeah, then playing with the Legos because somebody thought I was being awesome and decided to give them to me.
It's because you are awesome.
Oh, stop. Stop. But, yeah, and then, you know, playing some Sonic Frontiers.
Yeah.
Finally getting around to that game. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And then watching the Game Awards and being upset with the Game Awards, but
yeah,
that's a whole other topic. So
I know. Well, I did forget to mention that we finished playing Alan Wake, and I thought that was pretty good.
Yes.
I had a lot of questions, but a lot of them I think can be answered by playing the American Nightmare DLC and then obviously playing Control and then Alan Wake 2. So
yes.
I'm just going to kind of hold off on, you know, trying to go down a rabbit hole right now because it's going to be a lot of spoilers if I do. So
yeah, it's a very long path ahead of us, I think, for finishing American Nightmare, then Control, then the DLCs for Control, and then finally getting to Alan Wake 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Control from what I've played of it, but there's something about Alan Wake, the mm-hmm. story, that it just resonates with me.
Yeah, you just feel it.
Just feel it in my jellies.
That's awesome. But yeah, it was really fun, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into the topic of some very unconventional Christmas movies. It's really cool that the main seven movies that we're going to be talking about, I've actually seen them. I'm really stoked.
Yeah, same. Even though a couple of them I haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've seen them, but I can't really remember if I know the ins and outs of everything. But I think they're all bangers from what I can see.
Yeah, actually, that was another thing I was going to say. Like, I actually like all of them. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
First off, right off the bat, Trading Places, a very controversial movie, but it came out in 1983, so times were different. It has a 7.5 IMDb rating and an 85% on the Rotten Tomatoes. So I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's doing pretty well for itself.
Yeah, little synopsis is a snobbish investor and a wily street con artist find their positions reversed as a part of a bet by two callous millionaires. And that's a very kind way to say fucking assholes. Like,
yeah.
Right there.
No, these are the people that you love to hate.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, whenever I see them on the movie, it brings me back to those. They're like the extreme asshole versions of those two old men in the Muppets. You remember them?
Yeah.
Always standing.
The grumpy ones.
Yeah. And like, it's almost weird to see what were they? Were the two connected in some way? Was it a cheeky little head nod? I don't know.
But that I never thought about that. Which, you know, hey, another Christmas movie.
That's true.
But yeah, I could totally see it.
Yeah, they definitely had their comeuppance mm-hmm. in the end. Another little thing. Have you seen Coming to America?
I have. Yeah.
So they're in Coming to America.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. So
are they in the barbershop or
no? So. This movie, they're in the same universe.
Oh,
Trading
snap.
Places and Coming to America.
I did not know this.
There's a scene in Coming to America where Eddie Murphy's character, he's walking on the streets and he comes by these two homeless men and they're begging. It's them.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
that's
and
so funny.
It's very nice. It's a very nice tie-in.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. I've seen that movie. It's been a while. So next time we watch it, I'm going to definitely be looking for that because that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
We got to watch that one. And then we have to watch the second one because from what I heard, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah. That's what I remember hearing too. So, but yeah.
The first time that I saw this movie, well, I couldn't tell you the first time I saw this movie. I kind of grew up with this movie. It's one of those family movies. And whether or not I should have seen this movie when I was a little kid is another story. but I feel like it's just one of those movies that, even though I don't know all of the quotes, I feel like I know the movie backwards and forwards because of how many times I've seen it. And my parents love it. My siblings love it. And we have those quotes that we say from it. I never realized how problematic the movie is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like I was saying, you know, in the beginning, I mean, it was 1983, and that doesn't seem like a long time ago, but at the same time, it kind of is in a way. So I don't know. I get it. I just also think it's still a fun movie. I really liked it. So,
well, I think the problematic parts, a lot of them come from the two asshole brothers.
That's true. But
and
also,
it's a play on, you know, they're not likable people. So everything they're saying that is problematic just stems from the fact that they're assholes.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you have to think of it as it is a satirical movie. I mean, it is kind of making a commentary on life and how it was at the time in a kind of playful way, like very cheeky.
Yeah.
So obviously it's proud of its time, but it really works for this movie. And like we were saying, like they get their comeuppance and it's a feel good type of movie in a way.
Yeah, it's definitely a feel good movie. Everything works out for the people that it should work out for.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, Dan Aykroyd's character gets knocked down a couple pecs, which he needed, I think.
Definitely.
So he got a little dose of reality. And then I think it made Eddie Murphy's character just show that he was big boss man. And I love the part where he just takes out the fish when Dan Aykroyd's character went Thorpe, he's in the bus and he's...
Oh, was that fish or was that ham?
I thought it was like salmon, like this big thing of salmon.
Oh, you know, that would make sense because it was that bright color orange. Yeah. Okay, that makes it even worse.
Exactly.
I feel like if it was ham, it's still gross, but it's still going to keep better. It's salted pork.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's an actual salmon slab that he's carrying around in his pocket, and it's just
his crotch.
It's just littered with fake beard hair from his Santa costume.
And he's drunk and he's in a freaking public bus. That is like the germiest place ever. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely see a lot of boobs. A lot of boobs in this movie.
Oh yeah.
And you see Jamie Lee Curtis's boobs, which I did not remember that, but that happened. Yeah, and then that one party. And it's just,
it's like a giant orgy almost.
Yeah. And we were watching, and you're like, oh, shit.
I was like, oh, that's different.
That's different. Everybody's just partying so creatively.
Pretty much. Yeah, that was fun. I like that. I don't know. I liked all the characters, too. I liked the Coleman. Coleman, he was the butler.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Marcus from Indiana Jones.
That's him?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
I recognize him.
Yep, what a sweet man.
He is. He he's just like a cool dude.
He is a very cool dude.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember some other parts of the movie. I think one of the best ones is whenever the guy that the Dukes hire to do their dirty work, Beaks, he's on the phone with them. And then some dude just starts knocking on the telephone thing. He just interrupts the conversation that he's having with the brothers. And he's like, fuck off. It's just the way he delivers it, which is the same dude from The Breakfast Club, the principal.
You were telling me. Yeah, because I was like, oh my god, this dude, he looks so familiar. And you told me that it's the same principal. Like,
yeah,
that's the same vibe. He just brings it everywhere.
Yeah, just a lot of cool just actors that you wouldn't expect to be in the movie. And then you have Jim Belushi at the end on the party train.
He was the gorilla, the dude in the gorilla suit.
Yeah.
Oh, also, there's this one part that I wanted to be a thing for us is, and she stepped on the ball. When they're in that country club and when Thor comes in and they're just like in the middle of some joke or story and that's just what he walks into. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And it has to do, the scene that was happening right before that when she says that is these dudes, it's in one of those rich country clubs that just, I don't know, there's something about the look of it and it just makes you want to punch everybody there in the face. They all have very punchable faces.
They do.
And they're doing some kind of like acapella thing.
Uh-huh.
They're singing some song. And,
acapella,
acapella thing. And I just want to punch them all in the face. And then she just tops it off with, and they stepped on the ball.
Oh my gosh. That's one of my favorite parts, I think.
Yeah.
They had a lot of, like, I don't want to say like one-liners, but it felt a lot like every scene was a little sketch of it, like in itself. Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering why they never did a sequel to it. Or it might be just like Coming to America, where, I don't know, nowadays they'll decide to reboot it, or not reboot it, but just kind of revive the movie or turn it into a franchise. But I don't know what Dan Aykroyd's up to these days. He seems
vodka.
Yeah, well, besides the skull, the Crystal Skull vodka. But yeah, Eddie Murphy, he's still in the acting gig more than Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, he did come out with a Christmas movie this year, that Candy Cane Lane.
Yeah.
It looks very hit or miss. It could be pretty okay, or it could be really bad.
It's an Eddie Murphy movie nowadays, so
I used to like his movies a lot.
I actually still like his movies,
like the old ones, even
Which
though they're
ones?
Cheesy. Like the ones that come to my head are like The Nutty Professor or like Norbit, you know? I think it's because everyone in my household loved it and they watched it all the time. So I just always, Tuesday.
Another one of those movies that got obliterated by the critics and I think the audience too, but it's like you don't mess with a Zohan movie with Adam Sandler.
That one's good.
It's
though.
A good. It's a bad good movie.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites of Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was another one that Eddie Murphy came out with. It was in the early 2000s. I think it was called Pluto Nash. And that one was another one.
I remember hearing about that one. Yeah. But I never saw
it. A lot of people hated it. And I thought it was good, but then again, I was younger then. If I watched it now, there's a very good chance that I could shit all over it. But yeah, it was just a goofy sci-fi movie that if you asked me what the plot was, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with Trading Places, do you feel like it is a Christmas movie or would you say nah?
I personally think it's a Christmas movie. There's definitely a few scenes, and they're memorable scenes around Christmas. You have Dan Aykroyd dressing as Santa, a deranged Santa, stealing all the hors d'oeuvres and giant slabs of salmon and pocketing it in a Christmas party. And it's got a Christmassy kind of feel to it to me. It's it's kind of the same thing as some of the other movies on this list. It's just not the whole movie revolves around Christmas, but for some reason it screams Christmas to me.
Yeah, I agree too. I think it's a major part of the movie. It takes place around the holidays. Like it is right before Christmas. And then everywhere you go, it's Christmas and people are decorating Christmas stuff. So I personally don't feel like it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to the next movie, we have Better Off Dead. Came out in 1985 with a 7.1 IMDb rating and 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that it deserves a little higher score.
I was going to say that's a little egregious to me,
but
you know.
Then again, I don't know how many people actually watched this movie.
Before you, I hadn't seen it. So.
A lot of people haven't even heard of it. And I think it's just one of those hidden gems that if you watch it, I think you're going to like it. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, you're a psychopath.
I agree.
Seek help.
I agree. 100%.
So the synopsis for this movie: after his girlfriend ditches him for a boorish ski jock, Lane decides that suicide is the only answer. However, his increasingly inept attempts bring him only more agony and embarrassment, filled with the wildest teen nightmares.
This movie, I freaking love this movie. I was telling you the other day, because we just watched it. We watched Trading Places too, actually, a couple of days ago. But I was like, I think this is one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah. Okay, it's not one of those movies that centers around Christmas, but it's got Christmas in it, and it's got one of the best lines, one of the best scenes revolving around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And so there is a French girl that moves across the street with his neighbors as some kind of foreign exchange student. And the people that she moves in with are not the greatest people in the world.
I mean, it's Dan Schneider.
And that says a lot.
That says a lot.
The mom is very coddling of her very...
disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thing for a child.
He snorts nasal spray. That's his hobby. And he crochets. Not that if you crochet, there's nothing wrong with that. But just take a look at Ricky. Take one look at Ricky. This is the boy in the neighbor's house. He is quite a charmer. I'll give you that. He's got great dance moves. I'll give him that.
Oh, God.
Great dance moves.
Yeah, it's called, instead of the worm, it's just like the plank. Just like goes down and stays down.
You get one flop. That's it.
The dead fish.
Yeah, the dead fish. Yeah. But so Monique is the French girl, and she kind of gives off this impression that she doesn't speak English. So Ricky and his mom have a frustrating time because they keep talking to her and she keeps playing it like she doesn't understand a thing that they're saying.
I don't blame her.
I wouldn't blame her either. And she even says this later on in the movie. If you lived with a family like that, wouldn't you do the same?
Yeah.
And so the mom is giving her a present from Ricky at Christmas. And the present is Ricky's ugly mug in the ugliest picture frame. And she's, you know, trying to explain Christmas to Monique. And Monique's just stone-faced. She's not saying much. And so Ricky's mom grabs her cheeks and starts squeezing them so that her mouth kind of makes the motion of Christmas. Christmas. You have Christmas in France? Christmas. And it's just a great scene. And the movie is great.
Oh, gosh, yes.
There is this Camaro in the movie that even when I was a kid, when I saw this movie, I'm like, that's the car that I want. And I'm not a car guy, but I look at that car and that's like, that's sex on wheels. And yeah,
it's pretty smooth. It's pretty smooth.
It's pretty smooth.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, one of my favorite, if not my favorite, John Cusack movie. Great soundtrack too. It's very 80s.
Oh, very. Very 80s. Oh my gosh, but I love that about it.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to describe because it definitely like doesn't take itself seriously and it's all over the place, but that's what I love about it. Because when I watched it, you just said, hey, it's like this is a family movie, you know. And I was like, okay, in my head I was picturing kind of something similar to The Burbs because that was another one of the family movies. And I was thinking, okay, around the vein of there. Which The Burbs, I think it's okay.
It's amazing. It's amazing, but go on.
But this movie, I was like, oh my gosh. Start to finish, I was just blown away. I just thought it was hilarious. And yeah, John Cusack always plays like a really good like teenage dude that's down on his luck, you know, kind of heartbroken person. And his sense of humor too, it's just very like,
it's very dry.
Yes, very dry, very deadpan in a way almost. And I like it though.
Yeah.
it really works
for John Cusack. And just the movie itself has so many interesting characters.
Yes.
Each character has its own perk.
Like, I literally just thought about his teacher. There's a scene where he's in class. And, you know, like the movie starts off, basically his girlfriend breaks up with him and, you know, he goes to school or whatever in this other scene. And then his teacher asks him, hey, by the way, is it okay? Are you okay? I'm bad. I'm like totally messing up the line here. So cut me off if you...
I was wondering how you would feel if I took out Beth.
And then as he's leaving, he just kind of waves a little finger.
Yeah,
at him.
Like after school, it cuts to after school and he's just walking out and the teacher drives by in his convertible with Beth in the passenger seat. And he just does this little like pointer finger wave at Lane while he's going by. And this is just the reoccurring theme throughout the movie, because not only does his teacher ask him if he can take out Beth, the mailman does it.
And freaking Barney from the Flintstones.
Barney from the Flintstones.
Oh my gosh, I lost my shit whenever that happened.
Yeah, and it's just the scene before the teacher even says anything. It's just the opposite of what every class is, and that's why it's so funny, because he starts rambling off all of these mathematical terms. And granted, this is high school, so it's not like it's college. Everybody's really, really interested. Most of the class would be bored out of their mind, but this class is ecstatic. There's just electricity running through everybody.
So pumped to
they're just
go
pumped.
To math class.
Yeah. And he starts talking like they're in some kind of Harvard lecture or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he starts doing all of these math jokes, which normal students would roll their eyes at. And nobody would think it's funny, but they all laugh hysterically. And then he asks, who would like to be the first to go up and present this problem?
Yeah, and everybody starts fighting to go up there.
Everybody's fighting to go up to the front of the class and write out their problem. And
they're just so ecstatic for math homework, too.
Yeah, and it's funny because Lane is the only normal kid, I feel like, in that class. And it starts with the teacher telling everybody, bring out your homework that I assigned to you. And you have these kids breaking out this giant suitcase full of just that printer paper, the old printer paper that, you know, you would...
You tear off the edges.
Yeah. And, you know, people had binders and they had these just file cabinets basically opening. And then Lane reaches in his pocket and pulls out this triple, quadruple folded scratch paper thing that he tries to pull apart. And when he does, there's just this gum gluing it together. And in the inside, there's just a note that says, do homework. And I will say, that brought me back to high school. That was me in
that was
every
the vibe.
Class. Yes. But yeah, you had the teacher. He's, if any of you have ever seen Death to Smoochie, he's Puggy Ding Dong.
Uh-huh. Yeah, another good movie.
Another good movie. I mean, I know he's in a lot of other older movies and everything, but that's just the one that comes to mind to
me.
And then you have, well, in this one, I believe his friend is named Charles, but a lot of people would know him mostly from Revenge of the Nerds as Booger. Or if you're a Family Guy fan.
Oh,
or
not American Dad.
American Dad fan.
Yeah.
You would recognize him as Snot, which, I mean, that's the play on things. Is that, you know, that he came, everybody knows him from Revenge of the Nerds, so we're going to call him Snot in American Dad.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that until you told me about it. Like, hey, that's the same dude that played Booger, which I never seen that movie. We still have to watch that one.
We still have to watch it.
But it just tickled me when you told me that, so...
Yeah, and he is one of my favorite characters in that movie. When he's on top of the ski slope and it's the K-12 and he's practicing, he's just like, I'll give you some advice. Go that way really fast. If something gets in your way, turn.
I mean, he was not wrong.
He's not wrong. That's the beauty of it. It's beautiful in its simplicity. And I think Lane didn't turn because he immediately biffed it.
Of course, yeah. In Lane fashion.
Yeah. And the main bad guy, I guess, in the movie, I mean, he's a typical douche. He's just he's an 80s douche. And you just love to hate him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it's one of those amazing classics.
It is. It really is. I recommend it to my family because they haven't seen it yet. And this is one of those movies I'm always going to recommend because it's just so fun. I loved it.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite scenes is just like the mom cooks these ridiculous, weird things. I mean, bless her heart because she tries. But there's this one scene where it's like goop and... Yeah. All of a sudden, it's in Lane's plate, and he's just staring at it, and it just starts crawling away. He doesn't even bat an eye. He's just like, okay, like, yep. And yeah, that's just life for him, I guess, at that point. But
yeah, and I remember seeing that as a kid, too, and it looked, I mean, I would assume that it looks gross to anybody, mm-hmm. but when I saw it as a kid, I'm like, that looks good. Except for the raisins in it. And,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
But what's the infamous quote from this movie?
I want my $2!
I love that.
Yeah.
The whole time there's this paper boy just asking for his $2.
Yeah. it's the running gag of the movie. And at the end, you think the kid's going to die because he follows them. So there's at the end of the movie, Lane challenges, I think his name is Roy, the main bad guy, to a ski off down the K-12. And while they're doing this, and Lane is on one ski, mind you. The paper boy who needs to collect his $2 from Lane is following him down the slope. And the funny thing is, he's always on his bike. Always on his bike. So he's following him on his bike, and his bike has skis on it.
Yeah.
And he gets too close to Roy, and Roy just hits him with his little pole thing. And then you see him, the paper boy, fly off a cliff, and you think he's dead. But, you know, a few minutes later, they have to show you that, nah, he's fine. He's probably suffered a lot of damage, but he's fine.
My favorite part of that, though, is his yell. He goes, ah!
No!
Yeah. It's a good movie, needless to say. And it's just a must watch.
Another movie we have to see, because it's, to me, it seems like it's very similar to this, is One Crazy Summer.
Yes, yes. You told me about that.
It's got a same vibe to it, to me, because in this movie, which is kind of weird, because the beginning opens with, you know, a cartoon, and it's supposed to be one of the probably fantasies that Lane has that comes directly from his artwork that he does. Because in the middle of the movie, you see him in the cafeteria drawing something and it ends up eating the main douche in his fantasy. But you don't really see the drawings too much outside of that in the movie. But in One Crazy Summer, it's almost like he's the same guy. It's, and he has the same thing where he draws. And he's kind of a loser. So it's a great movie.
It's just John Cusack being John Cusack, I think.
Yeah. And instead of it being snowy on a ski resort, it's on a beach.
Oh, okay. So they just kind of switched it up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But see, that's why, but after it is more Christmassy, because there's a lot of snow.
There is.
During Christmas time. So do you agree that this is a Christmas movie, would you say?
I agree that it's a Christmas movie. I understand that only a small portion of this movie takes place around Christmas, but there's something about a movie that gives a Christmassy vibe. And this movie does it. I mean, it could be that it takes place on a ski slope or near a ski slope.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's the vibe of it. And I can understand why people would maybe not consider it a Christmas movie, but to me, it's got that feeling.
Yeah. Same thing with me. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies. I agree with you 100%. There's Christmas vibes throughout, you know, and then another part I just remembered is when he's sitting in the car in the garage and he has that little teddy bear and he just looks at the little teddy bear. Why are you so small?
He's trying to kill himself with carbon monoxide poisoning from the exhaust of the car. And he ends up just like passing out and then hitting the reverse or shifting into reverse. And another running thing in the movie is that the dad is trying to fix his garage door. And so he finally fixes his garage door and Lane just reverses right through it and takes down the garage door and just goes out in the middle of the street. And the parents are out there and they're just looking at him, just kind of dumbfounded. They're not really worried. They're just kind of more annoyed that it actually happened. And that's another thing. I mean, as the title kind of suggests with it, is it's kind of a movie about him trying to off himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some... I was saying when we were watching it, this probably couldn't be made today.
No, it probably wouldn't fly.
But it's just the way that they do it in this movie, it's so silly and weird.
Yeah.
That it doesn't, at least for me, it doesn't really scream like insensitive or anything like that. It's just, I don't know. It's just
he was a teenager. Yeah. He was moody and he just went through a heartbreak. And I feel like it'd be kind of, you know, I don't think it's off the mark with that. I mean, I remember feeling like hormones were everywhere and I just felt like it was the end of the world. If, I don't know, I went to a store and I couldn't find my favorite drink. I was like, oh my gosh, my life's over.
Yeah, you know? Because that's all your life is. That's what it is.
So.
Yeah.
But moving on to another movie. This one's Die Hard and it came out in 1988. And this one has an 8.2 IMDb rating and a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. This one, it's a very popular non-Christmas movie.
I think it's the most popular non-Christmas movie. And I can't go anywhere on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, or Reddit or anything else without people saying, it's a Christmas movie. Come on, it's a Christmas movie. I think everybody at this point is just like, yeah, we get it. Fine. It's a Christmas movie. Nobody's fighting it anymore.
Right.
It's a Christmas movie. The whole plot revolves around a Christmas thing. And if you want a very non-traditional classic Christmas movie, then this is it. This is like the pinnacle of all of these unconventional Christmas movies. It's Die Hard. And it's just like the Nakatomi Tower. It stands as the pinnacle above all other of these unconventional ones.
Whoa. So a quick synopsis, if you haven't seen it by now. A New York City police officer tries to save his estranged wife and several others taken hostage by terrorists during a Christmas party at the Nakatomi Plaza in Los Angeles. So again, it is like super hyped, but to be fair, I do think it is a Christmas movie because it does take place during Christmas time. He is at a Christmas party when it all goes down, and the whole premise of it is he's trying to get to his kids, you know, for Christmas. So it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and it's not like those other movies where, you know, a portion of the movie took place around Christmas. This entire movie takes place, is it on Christmas or right before Christmas?
I almost feel like it's probably like Christmas Eve, to be honest. But either way,
it's a Christmas party.
It's a Christmas, but yeah.
Yeah, and I would say out of all of the movies on the list that we're going through, it's the one that, okay, maybe not all of them, but for most of them, out of most of them, it's the one that actually stays consistently Christmas throughout the movie.
Right.
Not just, you know, it has a Christmas feel or it has a Christmas scene in it, but I get why people would say it's a Christmas movie because, yeah, it all centers around Christmas. And like you're saying, it's part of the plot.
Yeah. So I've only seen this movie once so far. I like action movies, though, and the typical, like, 80s/90s, it's, like, right on the verge, which that's, like, yeah, my jam. I love those movies.
That's the chef's kiss of the of the action films.
Yeah.
Especially you got your boy Bruce Willis in there.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know a lot of the quotes from it or anything like that, like a lot of people,
you know,
but
one.
Which one?
Starts with yip.
Oh, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right.
And don't ask me any other ones. I'm sure my brother's going to be ashamed of me for not knowing.
Right.
But I like Die Hard. I like the movie. I don't hate it. It's just not one of those movies that I really go out of my way to see. And if somebody had this movie on versus, I don't know, what's that claymation old Christmas movie?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Rude.
If it was this versus Rudolph, this, 100%, 110%. But it's a good movie. It's just, I also think that my favorite one out of the franchise was the third one that had Samuel L. Jackson and Jeremy Irons. And I'm just a sucker for Jeremy Irons.
Mm-hmm.
That voice, that sultry voice.
Ooh.
It's just so, it's up there. It's like top tier of voices. You got, and this is in no particular order, but you know, you got Jeremy Irons, you got Sam Elliott, who's another really good one. I guess Morgan Freeman. Everybody always loves Morgan Freeman's voice.
Oh, I'm surprised you're not mentioning your boy.
Ron Perlman.
Bloom. Your boy, Spike Spiegel.
Oh, I'm talking about... Okay.
Oh, actors.
Actors, not voice actors. Now, that's a different category, but yes. But yeah, Steve Bloom, he's up there in a different category because he's a strictly voice actor from what I know.
Yeah.
And I will say, his voice is honey. It's amazing. It's Spike
smooth
Spiegel.
Smooth like butter.
Smooth like butter. Spike Spiegel, you know, he's in so many different things, but this isn't a Steve Bloom gush sesh. So, but Jeremy Irons in the third one, I thought the plot was great. I don't think it scored as highly as the first one with the ratings and all that. But I mean, how could you not like Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis together and Jeremy Irons as the bad guy? It's just a great movie. But this one, it has some memorable moments. Definitely, you know, by the end of the movie, I feel like he shouldn't have feet anymore because he's just barefoot for most of it.
Right.
And you see him walking across broken glass. And, you know, he has to wear white because that shows all of the blood that he's spilling through all of it.
That reminds me of this one meme I found. And it had... this Christmas season, don't forget to leave cigarettes, a lighter, some shoes, and some Twinkies in your air vents for John McCrane.
Yep.
Or is it John McCain?
John McClane.
Oh, John McClane. Wow, I was way, way off.
Well, you had somebody real in there. But there's a difference between John McCain and John McClane.
Oh, for sure. So general consensus is that Die Hard is definitely a Christmas movie.
It's definitely a Christmas movie. I mean, it's been decided. Everything about this movie being a Christmas movie is decided. If you're still holding on to whatever crazy lunatic opinion you have about this not being a Christmas movie, the war is over. It's time to go home.
You're wrong.
Yes. All right. So next on the list, we have Batman Returns. Came out in 1992. Got a 7.1 IMDb rating. 81% on the Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's a decent score.
I actually
for Batman.
Yeah, I agree. I actually thought it was going to be worse than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think out of the first two, definitely my favorite out of the first two. I feel bad saying it because Jack Nicholson as the Joker, he's a great Joker. But yeah,
I'm sorry, he's not my favorite. I like Jack Nicholson. It's not my favorite. You know, I just say the second movie is way better.
It is.
I feel like they weren't filmed that long apart from each other, but they feel like decades apart. So,
yeah, I think you were saying that the first Batman movie felt like it was filmed in like the early 70s. And then Batman Returns, that one felt like it was definitely, you know, late 80s, where it should be.
Well, 90s, yeah.
90s. But I mean, first Batman did come out in a pretty good year. So
it's a good year. It's a good year.
So the synopsis for Batman Returns. While Batman deals with a deformed man calling himself the Penguin, wreaking havoc across Gotham with the help of a cruel businessman, a female employee of the latter becomes the Catwoman with her own vendetta.
Rare. Yeah, I think she's an awesome Catwoman too. But yeah, I remember I was telling you, like, I just remember this movie mainly because I had the Super Nintendo video game, and the whole time you're playing, there's snow, there's Christmas decorations, so it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I actually never played the game. I wish I did, but
you can,
I heard.
And you must, because I have it.
You do?
I do.
Well, then I will have to play it. But I did hear it was actually kind of hard.
It is. It was very, very, a lot of frustrating times with that game. So yeah. I actually never beat it because it was really hard.
That's what I've heard from other people. It looks cool, though. Like the aesthetic of it, everything looks really cool.
Yeah, it's a side-scrolling type of platformer almost in a way. Not really platformer, but it feels kind of like that. And I loved it, though. I loved it.
Would you say that Michael Keaton is your favorite Batman?
Oh gosh, this question is very controversial because I like him. I feel like I like him more now than I did before, but unpopular opinion, but Val Kilmer is my favorite one just because I love Batman. Correct. Forever. Exactly. And then Michael Keaton, I like him a lot too now. Especially because of the second one, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. When I look at all the Batman, like all the people that played Bruce Wayne and Batman, Michael Keaton kind of looked like a dork to me.
He was.
But that's not what Bruce Wayne is. He's not a dork.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be some
smooth
suave, party
rich
boy.
Playboy,
yeah, rich playboy. And when I look at Michael Keaton, I don't really see it.
See, I will say that I don't know if that's how it's supposed to be in the comics, to be honest with you. I wonder if somewhere along the line, and we're getting way off the tangent right now, but we gotta say this. I feel like somewhere along the line, he became that way because I always think of the original Batman, Adam West, and like, I just always remember seeing him dressed up as Batman, but I don't know how, if he played Bruce Wayne or anything like that, but I just felt like he was supposed to be a classy dude, but he was kind of a gentleman, and that's the way I feel like Michael Keaton's Batman was, like Bruce Wayne was, sorry, and then I feel like he started becoming that way, I will say, starting with Val Kilmer, so I don't know if it was supposed to be that way. I don't know if Michael Keaton had it wrong. I don't know. But that was my little two cents on that.
Yeah. I just think he looks like a dork. But
yeah,
I think he's definitely got his place in the Batman universe. And this movie definitely has its place. And one of the best villains ever, the Penguin, played by it's just like the stars aligned for the casting choice for the Penguin in this. Danny DeVito as the Penguin. There has never been a more perfect fit.
No, I love Danny DeVito, and so I didn't know of him until later. You know, I know him a lot from Matilda, and obviously now from Always Sunny. I love him. But it was freaking brilliant. Just the costume was great. And I like Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. I thought she was great.
Yeah, I think that she was pretty awesome as Catwoman. Never saw the actual movie Catwoman with Halle Berry, but from what I've heard...
Same.
She's probably way better than her.
Yeah.
And then again, I don't know if that's an acting thing or a casting thing or just the movie sucked.
I think a lot of the things I want to blame it on, just terrible writing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just like with the game, you know, very Christmas vibes. So I definitely will accept this as a Christmas movie, alternative Christmas movie.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely a Christmas movie. It's kind of all about, with some of these movies, what comes to your mind first when you think of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of winter snow. You know, I think of the park with the Penguin. I see snow on the ground. I see Gotham full of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a Christmas party in this movie, right? That gets crashed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's definitely a Christmas movie to me. It's just, along with everything else in this list, it just has that feel.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And then moving on to a banger, this one's Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
It came out in 2005 and it has a 7.5 IMDb rating and 86% on the tomatoes. And I'm really surprised that this movie, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because it's really, really good. I guess I'm more surprised that it, okay, I'm kind of surprised it's that low, but.
I'm actually kind of surprised that it's that high.
You think so?
Because.
Yeah.
This is another one of those movies, and I could be wrong, but I feel like a lot of people haven't really watched it.
It's kind of like Better Off Dead, yeah.
Kind of like Better Off Dead.
Yeah, that's true. It's another one that I didn't watch until I met you, so.
Yeah, it's one of those sleeper hits. It just...
Oh, it's so good.
It's just a great movie.
Yeah. So, a little synopsis. After being mistaken for an actor, a New York thief, played by your boy Robert Downey Jr., is sent to Hollywood to train under a private eye for a potential movie role, but the duo are thrown together with a struggling actress into a murder mystery. And that private eye is played by Val Kilmer.
Yeah, boy.
So awesome. Just a fun role. The whole movie takes place around Christmas time. Again, there's some Christmas parties going on. So a lot of Christmas music throughout the movie, too. Remember, I was pointing it out because we just also watched this one recently. And
Yeah, and it does take place around Christmas. I will say this, though. When I first watched this movie and watching it a few times before we rewatched it, Christmas wasn't the first thing that came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's mostly because I'm a Midwestern guy and I experience the changing of the seasons. And when it's Christmas time, it's winter time.
Right. So,
but this place is in LA.
Right.
And it's
just missing the snow for you.
It's
missing
the snow.
And see, with me, I was born in LA, so I'm kind of like used to that. And Christmas was just the decorations in a way, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, and that's just what it is for me. It doesn't have the snow. And to be honest with you, I forgot Christmas was.
That takes place, yeah. Yeah, this movie is definitely, it does a good job of like, it takes place during Christmas and, you know, you definitely know it's there, but it definitely does not focus on that. But to me, it is a Christmas movie because there's Christmas music, like I said, and I just want it to be a Christmas classic movie, okay? So, yeah.
I would love for this to be a Christmas classic. I know that I said that whenever I thought of this movie, I didn't think Christmas, but now I will.
Yes.
It's
just super cheeky, super fun.
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr. just freaking hilarious in this movie. I think it was one of his first movies after he, you know, went through a whole mess with the drugs and all that stuff.
Yeah, the comeback.
Yeah, this was his comeback movie, actually, before Iron Man.
Yeah.
So I just think it was awesome. Val Kilmer was great in it.
Which is just sad because you watch movies of Val Kilmer back then and you look at him now, and I just, every time I think about it, I can't help but get sad, because you're never going to hear that voice again. I mean, he's just never going to talk like that again.
I know. Why you make me sad?
Well, we still have to watch that Val documentary too on Amazon. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's one of my favorite Val Kilmer movies. It's up there. And the two of them together, great. It's just a great duo.
It was so great.
They play off each other so well.
I want to like memorize all these quotes, because watching the movie, I'm just like, oh my God, that's so quotable. That's so quotable. Just, you know, his character, his name is Gay Perry, and he's just super like snarky, but he's really smart. And then Robert Downey Jr.'s character, Harry, he's just kind of, you know, a little, I don't want to say dumb, but he's just very, I don't know.
He's very Robert Downey Jr. to me. Yes. I mean, I think the problem, I wouldn't say it's a problem, but it's just Robert Downey Jr. If you think of how Robert Downey Jr. plays Iron Man or any of those things, this is very much like it. He's got the snarkiness. He's got the kind of almost rambling kind of way of going about things, talking.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess it's just like, without the playboy status, you know what I mean? Because he's kind of like this
down on his luck kind of. Yeah.
So, but with the snark. So it's just great.
Yeah. One other thing that I love about this movie is that Robert Downey Jr. is narrating the movie too.
Right.
And he breaks the fourth wall. And I know that meta is kind of a thing now. I mean, everything is trying to tear down the fourth wall, but it's just, he does it so well in this one. And he starts criticizing the way he starts narrating the story. And he tells the audience basically to fuck off sometimes. And it's great.
Yeah.
And there's that one scene where there's a corpse in Robert Downey Jr.'s apartment or in his hotel. And he notices it when he goes into the bathroom. And when he notices it, he's peeing. And he's peeing into the toilet, but then he turns and he starts peeing on the corpse. And it's just like the most ridiculous thing. And then he calls Gay Perry and he's like, he starts telling him about the situation. And he says, I peed on the corpse. And he's like, what? And Robert Downey Jr.'s character starts trying to interrupt Gay Perry. And he's like, no. I ask the questions. You don't speak. Why in perfect health would you pee on a corpse?
I love that.
It's just amazing. It's amazing. I'm not doing it any justice, but you just have to watch the movie if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, there's so many, like, I don't even want to do the lines because they're good, but I also like when Gay Perry does, he says, he called her a bad word, and then he pauses, and then he just says the bad word, cunt. It's just so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one's definitely going to be, I think, in the Christmas movie rotation.
It will. It's not snowy like all the other movies, but...
But you can make it work.
I can make it work. Christmas in LA can work.
Awesome.
All right. Next on the list, we have In Bruges. Came out in 2008. Got that 7.9 on IMDb and 85% on the Rotten Tomatoes.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I wasn't expecting this movie to be as good as it was.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping because you said it was a good movie. So I was like, yes. And it delivered.
It delivered. I when I saw it, I had low expectations, but it really delivered. So synopsis for this one. After a job gone wrong, hitman Ray and his partner await orders from their ruthless boss in Bruges, Belgium. The last place in the world Ray wants to be. Which I don't really understand, because the place, I mean, kind of quoting their ruthless boss, it's a fucking fairy tale.
It is.
It is. It's just
amazing.
It's magical. The place looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is the last place he wants to be. And I don't understand.
He's
can't
a downer.
He is a downer. But to be fair, I don't know, maybe he doesn't want to go to a happy place after the botched job that they had. I think he killed a kid by mistake.
Oh.
And that was just haunting him for most of the movie.
That might make somebody a little depressed.
Yeah, it might bring your holiday spirits down.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because
it is kind of like a slap in the face, almost like, oh, look how happy we are. Like, being surrounded by really happy people and in a like really beautiful place, it's kind of like, you know. I don't know.
But you see Bruges with all of these holiday lights and everything, and it is a fucking fairy tale. Mm-hmm. And it's got your boy Colin Farrell, and you know, it's got Mad-Eye Mooney himself, your boy Brendan Gleeson, mm-hmm. and another Harry Potter alum, Ralph Fiennes, Voldy himself.
Voldy, yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. Definitely consider this one a Christmas movie for sure. Just has that vibe, that feel.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a Christmas movie. It's another one of those movies where when I first think of it, Christmas doesn't jump out to me. Mm-hmm. But I could see where people would say it's a Christmas movie. It's definitely got Christmas in it. So yeah, I would say I wouldn't put it up there on the list of Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. I would put that up there on the list of movies I like, but whether I would consider it a real Christmas movie, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's fair. It's an alternative holiday film. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. And then the next one is Krampus. This one came out in 2015 and it has a 6.2 IMDb rating and a 66% tomatoes rating. Not going to lie, I think it's a little higher than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it's a little low. I'm like, No.
I think it's a little higher than I thought it was going to be. And this one, a little synopsis. A boy who has a bad Christmas accidentally summons a festive demon to his family home. And shenanigans ensue, of course.
Yeah, gory shenanigans.
Yeah. This one to me, I mean, 100%, it is a Christmas movie because it is all about this Christmas entity that his thing is he goes with Santa Claus, he takes the naughty ones and punishes them. So definitely a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more Christmas than Santa's evil brother. And I was actually surprised at how good it was.
Same.
I thought it was going to be another one of those, not fun bad, but just bad horror movies. And no, I put in a lot of work into it. And some of the holiday, the little monsters that come out, they're a little creepy. I think there was a teddy bear one in the attic. And then there was this one that was this creepy as hell Jack in the Box eating one of the kids, I think.
Yeah.
And it gave me the creeps.
Clowns just in general. And Jack in the Box, like, they're cool, but they're creepy at the same time. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this one I thought for sure I was going to hate it, but I actually liked it. This one's definitely in the rotation for Christmas movies. And yeah, it has Toni Collette in it, who she's from Hereditary. She was amazing. And then it has Adam Scott, which I know him from like Parks and Rec. And I feel like that's the guy you always ask me like what his name is.
Yeah, because there's somebody else that reminds me of him, but I can never remember who.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have, what is his name? He was in The Office. He was in that one Haunted House movie.
Oh, Holla.
Holla.
Oh, he was with Harlan Williams, too, not long ago.
David Koechner?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hilarious, too. I feel like he has very dumb frat boy type of, I don't know, humor, but I like it.
Yeah. He's just a big dumb idiot in a lot of movies.
Kind of is, yeah. I just always remember him from Haunted House. Holla. Yeah. Move your shoulders up and down, though, when you do it.
Wasn't he in Talladega Nights, too?
Oh, he might have been. But Talladega Nights, I've actually only seen it once, and that was with you, too.
That's a shame. We got to watch it again.
Yeah. Shake and bike.
Shake and bike. Shut up, Chip.
I'll come at you like a spider monkey.
I'm all hopped on Mountain Dew.
Oh, hell no. Those kids. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Perfect grandchildren.
Krampus needs to come pay them a visit. That's what.
Speaking of tie-in, yes. Yeah.
But there are a couple other movies that we found that are also considered unconventional Christmas movies, which with some of them I can see it, but some of them I'm like, not so much. But one of them was American Psycho, which I completely forgot. Like, I don't know where the Christmas comes in. I have to see it again.
Same. It's been a while since I've seen this one.
Yeah.
Christmas isn't the first thing that comes to my mind.
No.
Usually
sorry.
It's Phil Collins. But
Phil Collins.
It's whenever there's that one scene. It's that iconic scene that you see all over the internet, or used to be people used to share the meme of it where Christian Bale is pointing at his record or at his cassette player and
yes!
if Phil Collins is playing and he's playing it for Jared Leto. And I can't remember it was Susudio. And that was playing whenever he was like doing his little dance moseying on over to Jared
Leto
before he axes him.
I totally forgot like what song was playing until you pointed out. I remember that meme. It was super heavy on the internet back in the day.
Yep.
The thing I always remember besides that is just him pointing at himself in the mirror
yep.
while he's banging the chick. I just always think of him winking and just, you know, going at it. But yeah. That's a movie I've only seen once, too, and I need to watch it again.
I haven't seen it once. I've seen it a couple times. For some reason, the only memorable quote that I remember from this is him saying a couple times, I've got to return some tapes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I don't know why. That's the one thing that sticks with
me. Well, it's definitely back in the day. You can't use that excuse now.
Yeah.
Now you just have to put up with, I think I left my cat in the oven, you know.
I left my cat in the oven. Speaking of Better Off Dead, my grandma dropped acid, freaked out, and hijacked a bus of penguins. And anyway, I got to go.
Yep. That's awesome. You have to remember that for next time.
Another one is The Shining. I could see it. It kind of falls into the whole snow thing for me.
Yeah, okay. That's the only thing I remember, just them, you know, being trapped in that hotel and there's snow. But I don't remember the Christmas part.
I really don't remember the Christmas part either.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was at some point they made their own Christmas in there, but
yeah. I would accept it as a holiday movie because, again, I would choose this over Rudolph any day.
That's just so rude because that's an awesome, classic, family, Christmas, wholesome movie. How dare you?
It's boring.
No, I love that one. I just have a special place in my heart because I grew up watching it. So I was obsessed with it.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, can't all be as precious as you.
Oh, he's so sweet. Speaking of sweet things, the next one is Gremlins, which I finally saw Gremlins. I was kidding. They're cute before they, you know.
Before you pour water on them?
Before you give them the water.
What is the other thing? You don't
feed them.
Don't feed them after midnight or something?
Yeah, or give them water.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I saw it for the first time last year too. I do think it's a Christmas movie because it does take place.
Yeah, movie.
For sure. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's my favorite movie. I see why a lot of people loved it when it came out. They're definitely cute little creatures before they turn into the Ewoks, but the whatever they are.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
better,
okay.
Yeah, it's better than I thought it was going to be.
It was about as what I thought it would be.
Oh my gosh, almost died right there. yeah, that's fair.
Next on the list, Eyes Wide Shut. Never seen this movie.
Same. I'm surprised though because
it's got your boy Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's got your boy Tom Cruise.
Let's see how many times I can say your boy in this podcast.
I'm not keeping count. 7. No, it's good.
I knew it.
It looks good. It also has Nicole Kidman. I believe this is the movie where they met, I don't know if this is the second one or not that they made together, but either way, it looks good. It looks interesting. I think we should watch it. But
yeah, we're gonna
a lot of articles were mentioning this movie because I think it takes time during Christmas. So
yeah.
And then there's also While You Were Sleeping. This one, 100%, it is a Christmas movie. It has Bill Pullman and it stars Sandra Bullock. And it's just adorable. And it takes place in Chicago. It's the freaking best.
Which, the movie revolves around a lie.
Yes, okay.
And it's cute. And nobody thinks otherwise about it because it's got this very
America's
Hallmark-esque.
America's Sweetheart Sandra Bullock, okay?
I'm calling Bullocks.
You get out of here.
Yeah.
But I get it. We had a conversation about this. You know, you're saying she was too timing. And I will say this. She's not a two-timer. I would just call her a liar because she did lie that she was dating the brother who was in a coma. But, you know, she was technically not dating.
Technically not dating him, but to everybody else's knowledge, she was.
But to her own knowledge, she wasn't. So she's just lying. but I get it. Mm. It does look bad when you point it out. I'm like, let's not talk about this.
I remember when we were watching this movie too. You're just giving me that side eye, like that side eye monkey
don't
thing
ruin
every
this
time
for
she thinks.
Me.
Yeah. Stop ruining it. It's not problematic.
Not at all.
Yeah. Next one on the list. Edward Scissorhands, definitely a Christmas movie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's got a lot going around Christmas. Mm-hmm.
I like this one a lot, actually.
I like it, but it's very depressing to me. The landscape of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's something
it's
about...
It's very liminal, the whole
yes,
suburbia.
And that's what it is. That's,
and, yeah.
That's really what it is that gets to me. That neighborhood, it just makes me uneasy every time I see it. Mm-hmm. And... just the
cookie
the pastel colors and the
like,
cookie cutterness.
I mean, it's a good contrast between him and his, you know, castle up.
I'd prefer
the
castle.
And then, yeah. Oh, same. 100%.
Yeah. The castle has more, it feels cozier to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
The horror film is actually in suburbia.
Yeah.
And the castle is just like the cozy place.
It's just like the Addams family. Like, they're actually a really good family and they're perfect. And like, everyone else is psychotic.
Well, yeah, they're
not
a
so
little.
I
would say they're
crazy,
included in the psychotic. They're just lovable psychotic.
They're just yeah, that's kind of what I was going with. It's like more like they're actually a real family versus other people that have normal lives, but they hate each other, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
And then this one, I've never seen this one, but you said you saw it. It's called Ice Harvest and it has John Cusack in it.
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie. It's one of those dark comedy movies. This is another one where I haven't seen it in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember liking it, and John Cusack is John Cusack. He's kind of got the snarky attitude,
mm-hmm.
got the dry sense of humor.
Ooh, can you imagine a movie with him and Jeremy Irons? Him and Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes.
That'd be interesting.
I feel like they would both be competing with how snarky they could get. And at a certain point, I'd be like, all right, we need to take a break.
Yeah. I need to see this. This is to be a thing. I wonder if they... We'll have to look it up, see if they ever made a movie together. Probably not, but...
Nah, you never know. They might have. Yeah. Might have been one of those direct-to-DVD or streaming things.
Yeah.
Next one is Chronicles of Narnia. Definitely a Christmas movie.
This one, I've never seen it. I remember reading the books when I was younger. I just never saw it, but I wanted to.
It's even got Santa in it.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me a little bit about it. If there's Santa, it's definitely a Christmas movie. Plus, I just remember it always looking like a winter wonderland.
Yeah,
it was just a lot of snow. And
yep.
So, definitely.
Yeah, it's very Christmassy. And, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen this movie since when it came out, actually. I don't think I ever watched it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I remember seeing this was in theaters, so.
Wow, you fancy.
Yeah.
But we also were talking about these other movies that weren't in any of the lists, but we personally feel like they have that Christmas vibe. One of them for me is Harry Potter. And I think you were saying for you too.
Yeah. Harry Potter, I would say for the most part, the first three or four movies.
Yeah. Probably the first four.
Probably first four, most definitely first three, because I think four is when it starts getting serious and starts turning into a bummer. And
I would say yes, but I would say definitely five and on is when yeah. it's really like dark.
It's really dark.
Yeah. But I think four is the last hurrah word to me anyway. I think it's just because of that ball that they have and it's super fun.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of my favorite parts of the, like four was one of my favorite books I remember. But it feels Christmassy to me. Like they always have the, you know, happy Christmas, you know, and all that. And
happy Christmas, Harry.
Happy Christmas, Harry.
Yeah.
And you know, he's always getting an ugly sweater, literally every Christmas.
Yep.
And courtesy of Ron's mom. She's a sweetheart. But yeah, to me, it just feels cozy, too. We're saying yeah. I love how they decorate for Christmas and the grand hall and everything. And it's just so cozy to me. I love it.
And that's why I really love the first three or four-ish movies, because those are the ones that make me feel warm and fuzzy. It's comforting.
Mm-hmm.
The last ones are like, all right, I mean, shit's falling apart for everybody. I'm starting to get anxiety over here. I don't need this. But yeah, no, I definitely say this is got that warm, fuzzy Christmas feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same.
And another one, Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings doesn't really have a lot to do with Christmas.
it does in your heart, though.
It does in my heart. And a reason why I think these are Christmas movies, because when they first came out in the theaters, they came out kind of competing with Harry Potter. It's funny that we have both these in the same category, because I remember they were both kind of competing with each other when they were in theaters, because the first Lord of the Rings movie came out in 2001.
Yeah.
And I think... wasn't that the year that the first Harry Potter movie came out?
I'm not sure, you know, because I actually never watched any of the Harry Potter movies in theater. I didn't get into Harry Potter until, I think, my senior year in high school, and I read the books, and then I watched the movies after that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I just never saw them in theaters. I always just saw them, like, at home.
I actually saw every Harry Potter movie on...
What a nerd.
Well, I wouldn't say every one of them on opening day, but I saw a fair amount of them on opening day. And I did see every Harry Potter movie in the theater except for the very last one. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to the theater to see that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, both of them started out in 2001.
Hmm.
Both the first Lord of the Rings movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, and The Sorcerer's Stone came out in 2001. And both of them came out, I'm pretty sure, in December. So both of these just kind of had this, I mean, it was around the holidays, and I thought of Christmas around the time. But, I mean, I love Lord of the Rings now, but back then, when I saw them in the theater, I fucking hated them.
Oh my gosh, you're such a hater.
It was reversed, because I loved Harry Potter. I think it's just mostly because I was around the age where Harry Potter made sense to me. And
right.
I was around the age of Harry Potter in the series, so I could relate. You just
grew up with him almost.
Yeah, I could relate more with Harry Potter, and I just... The Lord of the Rings movies were more dark and more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
But now it's reverse.
Now it's reverse.
Where you're more into Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And now I just... When people talk about Harry Potter, I know about Harry Potter. I don't know much about Harry Potter anymore. I've seen all the movies, but I don't go that deep into the lore.
I mean, honestly, I feel the same, because even though I've read the books and I read them at least twice each and I've seen the movies, I just feel like I don't retain as much information as other people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely feel like this one, The Lord of the Rings, it does give me that cozy feeling, I think, too. So I can give you a pass on that.
Thank you. Because it's... Yeah, it's a great movie. And if you're really psychotic, you could just watch all three of them in one day, extended cut, and, you know, really want to piss off the person you're watching it with.
Tried, and I haven't been able to make it yet.
Oh, I could do it. I could probably do it twice. I could probably watch the series.
It's not because I don't like him. I love him. It's just like, I don't know. I just get too comfortable, I guess. And then I just want to take a nap.
Yeah, well, that's understandable. Some of them are a little slower, too. The second one is a little slower. I just remember my dad would play these movies, too. He loved the Lord of the Rings movies. As far as I know, he would play them a lot in our house. And he had this big screen TV with this booming sound system.
Oh, yeah.
And I could tell when he was watching Lord of the Rings, because he would crank that shit up. And the house would be vibrating. And there are scenes where you'd have, especially in the first one, the first movie, you have one of the opening scenes where it's Sauron fighting the armies, like the elves and men and all of that. And there's one scene where Isildur cuts off the finger of Sauron. And then he just starts like imploding a little bit. Like he starts getting sucked in. And then all of a sudden you hear this,
oh yeah,
and it just I could hear that from all the way upstairs. The big screen and the sound system was downstairs in the basement, but you could hear it all the way on the top floor of the house.
Awesome.
Yeah, I used to think like it was pretty cool, but now I think it's pretty great.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah,
I love it. Well, that was super fun. Thanks again for joining me. You're the best.
Thanks. But that's you.
Aw, thanks. But yeah, so we've already knocked out some of those movies on the list. There's still a chance for Die Hard to come through.
Yeah, it's not Christmas yet at the time of recording, but we still got some time.
Yep, and Krampus for sure, I think.
Yeah, which I still need to get the movie. I don't know why I haven't yet.
I thought you had it, but yeah. No. And in Bruges, I really want to see in that Bruges, one again. Yep. So, and then I'm going to make you watch While You Were Sleeping again.
I mean, you can watch me sleeping.
Yeah. I see what you did there. Yeah. All right. Well, don't forget to follow us on Twitter or X, Instagram, and the TikTok. And you can also check out our website, and all the links are on the show notes. So check those out. But yeah, it's been a really awesome year, and the holidays are finally here, and I'm super excited.
Yeah, me too. Ready for some Xmas or whatever holiday you're celebrating. Xmas.
Yep. Happy Christmas, Nico.
Happy Christmas, Harry.
My name's not Harry.
Harriet.
Happy Christmas to all of you. And from the Allied Rebels, we wish you the merriest of holidays. All right, well, thanks for tuning in. Until our next transmission, toodaloo, fellow rebels.
Toodles.
And she stepped on the ball.